the Upside Down Rock Show with me, Doris Brendel, on Hard Rock Hell Radio. Come and join me. So you're no good for me, and I'm nowhere to be true.
Oh,
Welcome to the Upside Down Show with me, Doris Brendel. Lovely to have you listening. Hope you've had a good week. So what are we doing this week? Well, first of all, that was another track from the band that I discovered last week, The Buttlers. That was Gardens of Babylon. They're from Portugal. It's quite rare to have a band from Portugal. They play a lot of really good sort of blues rock. And I will be playing some more of their songs next week. So this week we are going to go back to 2021 for the podcast that Lee Dunham and I recorded, and we are discussing the album Eclectica. Listen, should we do song time?
Yeah, let's do it.
Because we've got a bit of time to do it. And I thought with a bit of extra time, because I think we're going to move albums.
Oh, that's exciting.
I know. I'll introduce it then. So go for the jingle.
Roll song time. Do 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 do
with song time with Lee and Doss. So yeah. I thought because we've kind of done Upside Down World, I thought we'd nosy on over to Eclectica, the next one we did together.
Yes.
That's the third one of our albums. And I thought, I mean, initially, we might as well just talk about the album in general, because there were a few changes, weren't there?
Yes. Who did we replace and who left and who came back?
Well, Lincoln. Lincoln was one of the people.
Yeah. Lincoln was a bass player.
Yes. And that was, and Sam.
That's right, yeah. You know, they were a bit more stable.
Yes, it was a bit more. We started having a bit more of a stable band, mainly because it wasn't, when we did Not Utopia, we didn't really tour it. It wasn't until we did Upside Down World that we started doing some touring. But that's it right. wasn't that much then. So we just, when we got to do Eclectica, we'd actually done a lot more touring, so there was a bit more it was a bit more stable. That we had, you know, musicians that we that toured it, we were brought on board a lot more, so that was a really big difference. But if you remember, when we did Upside Down World, we'd written a lot of the songs already. We yeah. kind of worked on two albums at once, really.
Yeah, know what you mean.
So some of the songs were already there, and some of the songs we even already played live.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, we had, hadn't we? Yeah.
Most importantly, The One.
That's right. Yeah, we had played The One before, hadn't we?
Yeah.
Because, Steve did the drums for The One.
I'd have to look to see who did what.
No, I didn't. I remember recording it.
That's right. And Sam did about half the tracks, because we'd already been working. We had so many songs when we did Upside Down World. We kind of worked on two albums at once. So we hadn't done all of them for Eclectica, but we'd done about half of them.
That's very interesting. I wonder what ones were what with who again. I thought that Sam had done most of them, but I think Sam did do more than one. I don't think it was half. I think Sam did most.
Hang on, I'm just having a look at the very small writing. Sam White did tracks 2, 3, 7, and 8. There you go. See.
Oh wow.
Yeah. 2, 3, 7, and 8, which are Love App, yep. I'd Rather Wear Black.
Yep.
Losing It and Death and Taxes, and Steve did all the other ones.
Oh wow.
Yeah. It was a real I know. It doesn't seem that long ago, but
no.
But it was.
Wow. There you go. So Steve did a lot of stuff with us, didn't he? He did two albums almost, really.
Yeah. Yeah, he did.
An album and a half, yeah.
So, well, more, because he did a lot of the Not Utopia. Well, no, yeah, he did some of the Not Utopia stuff, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hello. finds time to steal before the sun goes down. They keep on telling me a star's a frost. I think that you might be my albatross. We learn to run before we learn to walk. There's so much time to steal before the sun goes down. Before the sun goes down. Before the sun goes down.
Two fantastic tracks. I really love both of those. The first was Thrice from California. The track is Albatross. Experimental rock with a great voice and really great harmonies. And the one you just heard, I love that as well. What a great track. From Bergen in Norway, Electric High. I have played some of their stuff before and I will be again, trust me, Feed Me a Groove, sort of classic and modern rock, but just fun and great songwriting. Really, really enjoyed that. Thank you very much. We're going to go back to discussing Eclectica. So yeah, we'd already done some of the tracks, and the idea was let's work on two albums at the same time, if possible, and then we don't have to wait so long in between releases because we knew we're going to do more touring. Didn't quite work out that way. It still took ages, but so we'd already toured some of the songs. I think Crying Shame we'd played, The One we'd definitely played, Animal possibly.
Maybe. Yeah, we might have done.
So, but I mean, primarily The One became a staple with our supporting Wishbone Ash because it's such a great closer.
Absolutely.
Such a great closing song. But I mean, we might as well talk about that song today because that it's the first one on the album. And you were worried because we recorded it earlier. You said the sound wasn't as good as some of the stuff we did later. Do you remember?
No, yeah, I do remember. Yeah, I do remember that. But I think I worked really hard trying to make sure that it got better, I think.
Yeah.
Trying to make it to fit with what we were doing. Because obviously as you start producing stuff, it does get better. The sound does get a little bit better.
But it's an odd track anyway because it hasn't got any guitars in it. It's just piano and drums and whistle.
It has got a bass guitar in it.
Okay, so it's bass, piano, bass, drums.
Yeah.
And whistle.
No guitar. Yeah, that's right. And that, before we start talking about that song as well, you can go back and talk about the artwork as well, because the artwork that's on the front of that album.
Yeah.
That was done with, that was a picture of you in your front room and a picture of me in my front room.
Yeah.
It was put together, wasn't it? Because I was playing the piano in the background.
Yeah.
And you are standing there in your,
looks like a curtain.
Yeah. Yeah.
It looks like a ruchy curtain. Yeah, I'm there with this. I thought, right, okay, because Igor only works with photographs.
Yeah.
And you have to really give him what he needs. And it was one of those, because I went through Igor Morsky's sort of catalogue, and he already had that theme with the drawers.
Yeah.
And I thought, let's try and recreate that, but with me instead. So I did all the posing. I got Dean to take the photos and I sort of did the posing and dressed up and so that he would have something to work with.
Yeah.
So
that's right.
So he used that and then sort of finished off the picture.
Yeah.
And I love the little you playing the piano, it's really funny.
Yeah, I know, absolutely. And then the actual disc itself is that funny-looking moon man on the inside, isn't it?
And that's Ian. Ian did that, yes. Yeah. And we did badges and we did all sorts of things. And that's right, the special edition was... Oh, my God, that box took me forever to make, which had the two drawers in it. Box with that's two drawers. And it had badges in. The one drawer had the CD and the other drawer had like loads of photos and badges and stuff in it. And, oh, my God, that took forever. Ever to do because I tried to make it look like wood, like a wooden drawer, little mini Chester drawers.
That's right.
Oh my God, the work cut work out for me there. I tell you,
I've still got my one of them.
Have
I've
you?
Got my, yeah, have yeah. I saw it the other day. I was like, oh yeah, there's the little wooden drawers.
Yeah, you get one of each, and then I sell all of the other ones.
That's it.
Yeah. Got none.
But that
left
funny little man shape that's actually on the disc itself is, I think that's on Sam's drum.
Yes. Livery. Yes. Yeah.
We'll be right back. wake up, I'm praying for good luck. I'm hoping for changes, just hope I don't screw up. Now I know it's down to me, can I speak honestly? Wanna stand up and say all the things I can't see. I can tell you right now, I'm just not quite sure how. And I'm begging a plea, please, please come save me. We'll be famous when dead, that's what the voices said. Famous when dead, that's what the voices said. Famous when dead, that's what the voices said. If you see me smile, don't mean I'm okay. If you hear me laugh, I'm just letting out pain. I'm no saint, take the knife out of my I'll strip back the colors the same. I can tell you right now, I'm just not quite sure how. And I'm begging a plea, please, please come save me. We'll be famous when dead, that's what the voices said. Famous when dead, that's what the voices said. Famous when dead, that's what the voices said.
That was Tipping Point from Megadeth at Pioneers of Thrash Metal. I'm not a huge fan of Megadeth and I'm not a huge fan of thrash metal in general, but they do it extremely well. So I thought, just, you know, for a bit of balance, let's play that fairly recent release from Megadeth. That was followed, yes, from myself and Lee Dunham, or rather Wear Black, from the Eclectica album that we have been discussing. And I know we've been discussing the track The One. We just got really distracted, and so we'll be going back to that track in a future episode. And the track that I just played, the last one of the three, Mission Jupiter, a band from Minsk in Belarus. The track is called A Revelation. I thought it was quite nice. So before we go back to our album discussion, I'd just like to remind you of a couple of gigs this month. Yes, this month indeed. February the 21st in Carlisle, the Temple of Prague one-day festival with Solstice and Ebb. And we're doing an acoustic set in the afternoon. So please come and support us. It's going to be a really, really great day. And on Sunday, the Sunday after the 22nd, we're doing a little matinee at the Spinning Top in Stockport, and it's definitely worth coming, because it's you can have lunch and then come down for about 3-4 o'clock, and we're going to do a sort of late afternoon show, and so you can still have an early night and have a nice afternoon drink and just relax and have some fun with us and shout space and be silly. So we'd love you to come and join us. Tickets are pay what you can afford, as long as you buy them in advance. Go to my website, best place for it. Right, we're going to go back to our Eclectica discussion.
Talking about that album with Sam, because I'd only just met Sam. Literally, Sam had just joined the band during this album. And his drum kit that he had, I mean, it had been around the world and done some, I don't know what he'd done to it in the way of just, it was a bit of a car crash drum set, to be fair, because it sounded naff. It just didn't sound very good, and it was really old and really not a good drum kit. And I said to him, now's the time to try and buy yourself a new drum kit, Sam. Because we recorded his, and it didn't particularly sound good. And he went out and he bought Adamant's drum kit, strangely enough. He bought the drummer from Adamant, I can't remember what his name was, sold Sam his drum kit that he's got now.
Okay.
And I don't know if you remember, but Sam bought that drum kit and he didn't know how to tune. So most drummers don't know.
Oh, I remember the whole tuning thing. Yeah. Oh, God, yeah.
Most drummers don't know how to tune their drums. So Sam's got this massive drum kit, and I'm saying to him, you need to be able to learn how to tune drums. But tuning drums seems to come from your ear, and Sam cannot hold a note for love nor money, which is probably the reason why he's a drummer, because he can't sing and he's not very good at pitching. So for him to try and tune his drums was just a nightmare. So whilst touring this album in particular, there was an awful lot of this going on. So it would just go bong, 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 like that, over and over again. He was just hitting a drum and he's trying to tune it to whatever tuning it was, and he's listening to videos, he was watching, he was trying to learn how to tune.
But that's
his
drum, the thing with Sam, though. Sam, as a person, he's not just happy doing something, he has to totally immerse himself in it.
Yeah,
so he
absolutely
watched loads of videos. He actually tried, he bought loads of different drum tuners to see which one was the best and which one he liked better than another. And really, really annoying when you're not a drummer.
Absolutely.
Because it's just like, oh my God. stop it. We were all just going, oh. But in a way, it's brilliant because he now is, he can't just tune the drums. He knows everything about drum tuning.
Yeah, no, absolutely. He really does. We were in a travel lodge in, I don't know, in Germany or somewhere where we were. And Sam and you.
Ibis.
Got, yeah. And an Ibis. And you and Sam were on floor one, and Lincoln and I were in on floor three.
Yeah.
And we were sitting there watching a film. And I overthought to myself, Sam's boinging that he'd be hitting his drums is either ingrained in my brain or he's doing it. So I pressed pause on the film and I said, so Lincoln, did you hear that? And he went, no. And I said, I can hear Sam's drums. And he went, it's in your head. And I said, is it? And he went, yeah. And you could just hear him going, bong, bong. So I listened really carefully. And he's tuning it. I don't know whether you were in the room, obviously not. Because I think
No.
He wasn't in the room, but he brought his drums in from the van, because he's got a van key. He'd gone out, brought a drum in or some drums in. And he was just going, bong. Bong, literally, well, I could hear it three floors up through the room, through the rooms, and I was like, "Shut up, Sam! Please stop tuning your drums."
No,
please.
I'd obviously gone out somewhere because otherwise I would have put up with that for 2 seconds. It's like, shut up!
That's what I mean. I would have heard you screaming and shouting at him instead.
I wouldn't. I don't need to shout it. I would have just said, "You could put it that way now." And then it would have just happened.
That's true. Oh, that's the old, what was it? The mini milks get thrown at him, don't they? Did he have a spate of throwing milks at him in the hotel rooms when he
was? Oh, no, that's when he was snoring.
When he snores. He came in drunk a lot. Mainly my fault. But he came in drunk.
No, not a lot at all. Not a lot at all. I mean, he's fine to share a room with, but if he ever snored. I'd have to, yeah. I mean, if he had a few drinks, he used to snore, and I used to get those little milk things, yeah, and just throw them at him.
He used to wake up with tomato sauce, tea bags, milk, sugar, any stirrers.
And then, he'd go, "Oh no, I'm really sorry. Was I snoring?"
Well, he always sticks with headphones in, so he wouldn't hear you say "shut up." Well, you can't get through to Sam when he's asleep because he just wears headphones as background noise with whatever music. Or whatever still playing.
I know.
So the only way that I think you found to get through to him was to cover him in the in the free pleasantries from the room and seem to wake you up.
I would just have to remember to sort of amass a load next to my bed just so I could, you know, have plenty to chuck at him.
That's it, yeah.
But no, to be honest, he was fine most of the time. It's a bit unfair. He got really, really drunk once and was an absolute pain in the arse. And weed all over the floor and stuff, but that only happened once.
Oh, see, when he shares with me, it happens every time. How does that work? That's not fair.
It's because you drink. Because I'm so boring. I don't even smoke now. God. Vickers with Deja Vu, singer from Texas with very slick alternative rock. And the track you just heard from North Carolina, Scarlet Tantrum covered in red. Nice pop alt rock track. For the last time, just a little addendum to our Eclectica discussion.
Let's digress and go back to Eclectica.
Okay.
And just give it, read everyone the tracks that are on it. Give us
okay,
the,
we don't have a lot of time tracks. Left. Right. But the tracks on Eclectica, the one which we've mentioned.
Yeah.
Love App.
Yeah.
I'd Rather Wear Black.
Yeah.
Crying Shame. Yeah. Retribution.
Yeah.
Animal. Losing It, Death and Taxes, Balloon, and One World. And I think we'll next time we'll start dissecting that album a little bit more.
Yeah,
in more detail. Yeah, because there's a lot of different stuff on there. And there's quite a lot of interesting stuff on there.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And like you said, the musicians start to come into play a little bit more because we're playing live a bit more with. Cause we met Pete during this album as well.
Yes, but also we.
Ped.
Yes, we can certainly talk about him. But yeah, but we also tried to involve people in songwriting, and we did all sorts of, you know, we experimented a bit more, as we always do. But it was, it had some interesting results. But unfortunately, for this week, we're out of time.
Ah.
Indeed we are. That is it for this week. Hope you'll join me again next week. I don't know where the time went today because I've only got time for one more track, but it's a long one and it's a really, really great one. So I hope you'll enjoy it. Soundgarden, Slaves and Bulldozers, and with Chris Cornell's unbelievable vocals. Join me again next week. Until then, bye.